Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles, we're going to look at a few passages this morning, but I'm going to ask you to open to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is God's word. "Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly, or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as discipline. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them. But he does it for our benefit, so that we can share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. Pursue peace with everyone, and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. No one will see the Lord without holiness. And so we are to pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Pursue it. Run after it. Go for it. Now, the Bible wouldn't tell us to pursue it if it was automatic. On the one hand, positional sanctification means that in Christ we are declared righteous. We are holy. But progressive sanctification, experiential sanctification, means that there is a process going on by which that holiness is being increasingly manifested as we walk in the light, as we do what God calls us to, as we invite his Holy Spirit to have his way with us. And so we're told here in Hebrews 12 that it's like a race. And we need to run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. But before you can run the race, you need to get ready for the race. Some of you have been doing some running. If you're going to do that, you don't wear the heels that you bought for the prom. You don't wear hiking boots to run that kind of a race. If you're going to run this kind of race successfully, you need to be dressed for it. You need to be prepared for it. And if I were to run a race right now, I would have to empty my pockets. I would have to remove this belt, okay? Because this belt adds unnecessary weight and drag. I would want to be without any encumbrance. And this chapter talks about some things that encumber us. They weigh us down. They trip us up. And one of the things it describes is the sin that so easily entangles us. This is sometimes referred to as a besetting sin. It's a sin that is a special trap for you. You are especially vulnerable to this thing. Not everybody has the same problem. Did you know that? But everybody has problems. Not everybody struggles in the same area, but everybody struggles. And the people who try and make you think that they don't have any struggles, one of the things they're struggling with is pride. When I was 14 years old, my 13-year-old friend, Sam Thielman, who was my pastor's son, confronted me about the fact that I had a filthy mouth sometimes. Now, not around Mom and Dad. Not around Sam Thielman's dad, my pastor. But around Sam sometimes, I used words that ought not to be spoken. I told jokes that ought not to be told. I thought it was just part of being a young man. But I had heard some stuff, and I thought it was what older guys do. It's what they say. It's hilarious. And I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be sophisticated. I wanted to be what everybody seems to think we're supposed to be. And so in certain contexts, I used bad language. And it wasn't that I wasn't a Christian. I was a Christian. In fact, I was seeking to lead people to Christ. I shared the gospel with people. But in my own heart, I had developed a real habit of saying things that didn't belong. See, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This says that there's a sin that easily entangles or ensnares us. It's not the same for everybody. But for me, I had a bunch of bad stuff inside that came out in bad ways. And so what my friend Sam Thielman did was he asked me to please read from Colossians and Ephesians. And he directed me to the chapters and the verses and just said, would you please read those? And so I read them, and God went boom, right between the eyes. He nailed me. I was shocked. I'd read through Ephesians more than once. I'd read through Colossians more than once. I was a Christian. But I had never realized how those verses applied to my life and how I was completely in violation of God's word, not walking in the Holy Spirit, not doing what God would have me do, not yielding my life to Him. I was filling my mind with the wrong stuff. I didn't read Playboy magazine, but I read Mad magazine. I filled my mind with a bunch of music that wasn't like the hideously misogynistic, violent, obscenity-laced songs that are now everywhere. It wasn't like that. But it was stuff that certainly did not promote holiness. And in the diet field, they have a saying, you are what you eat. Okay? The stuff you put in changes the way that your body is. And spiritually and mentally and emotionally, the stuff you feed on shapes what you're full of, shapes you. Be careful what you take in. And I'm not just talking about food. I'm not primarily talking about food. I'm talking about what do you feed your mind. That's one reason we encourage you so strongly to memorize the scriptures. Because as you feed on the Word of God, that's what's going to start coming out. That's what's going to shape the way you think, the way you feel, the way you view others, the way you treat others. Feed on the Word of God.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, we're told here, lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. If you don't know what it is in your life, ask some people who live with you. Say, what would you say is my besetting sin? And then don't be angry with them if they tell you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, for this is God's will, your sanctification, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passions like the Gentiles who don't know God. This means one must not transgress against and take advantage of a brother or sister in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses, as we also previously told and warned you. For God has not called us to impurity, but to live in holiness. Consequently, anyone who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Look back over in Romans chapter 6. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I'm using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So what fruit was produced then from the things you're now ashamed of? The outcome of those things is death. But now, since you've been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification. And the outcome is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. In Hebrews, we're told, put off the sin that so easily ensnares you. The image is that of changing clothes. That image is used elsewhere. But here Paul uses a much more dramatic picture. Put it to death. On the one hand, he says, consider yourself dead to these things. But then he says, so put it to death. Put these things to death. We have had various poisonous snakes here on the property over the years, copperheads and rattlesnakes. And I've killed, I don't know, lots. I've never tried to make a pet of one. I've never thought, you know, there are so many, it would be good to keep one as a pet so that we can show the kids, this is the kind you have to watch out for. No, we don't do that. And if I ever suggest that maybe that would be a good idea, it's definitely time for someone else to take over the ministry and me to be put in a home, okay? Because I'll tell you something. Those things don't belong here on this property anymore. Well, Pastor Wood, now, I'm sorry. You just need to understand this is a natural environment. We're right up against the park. Yeah, I don't go into the park and kill snakes. But on this property, we're trying to raise kids. And we don't want kids in a place that has poisonous snakes. So the snakes have got to go. Because God gave this land to us. Is that clear? You cannot go out into the world and eliminate all the sin. Yesterday, as my wife and I were driving to the dentist, there was a vehicle in front of us. Atomic Transport was the name of the company. And they were transporting, thankfully, not atomic waste. But what they were transporting was a bunch of plastic trash and apparently didn't have a lid on their high panel truck. And so as they drove down the interstate, I'm sure having a lovely time, here comes a huge, empty thankfully, but a huge black trash bag. Fortunately, it did not land on our windshield or anyone else's. And then pretty soon here came another piece of plastic. And pretty soon here came another. And I was only behind them for a few miles. But in that stretch, they dumped lots of trash. It's not okay to litter. And if anybody knows who owns Atomic Transport, please let them know that they were spoken ill of today based on their bad behavior. But it is our job to make sure we don't litter. Is that clear? I hope whoever is responsible for enforcing the law will eventually catch up with Atomic Transport and fine them and make it so that they don't think it's profitable to drive along with waste coming out of the top of their truck. If it is not profitable financially because of fines, then they will start putting a cover over the trash. Well, what about you? Do you still think it's profitable for you to use bad language, to look at things you shouldn't, to listen to things you shouldn't, to talk about things you shouldn't, to fantasize about things you shouldn't? It's not profitable. And I don't want you to be fined. Because what'll happen is sin will exact a price. And I want you to pursue holiness because God says that's what he wants us to do. I've got stuff in my life that I have to put to death every day. Selfishness. My bent is that I want the biggest piece of pie. I want the biggest piece of chicken. I want the part of the mashed potatoes that has the pat of butter there. Now, I know none of you can relate to that. When you go through the bar and you see that this piece of cake is larger and has more frosting than that piece of cake, you leave that one for someone else and think, I'll take the small one with less frosting. But that's not my inclination. I think, oh good, I got here in time to get the big one. And I'm just telling you, I have to die to that. And how you die to it? You take the smaller piece of cake. You realize that maybe somebody else would be better off with that than you. And after a while, you begin to find that things are better. Life is better. Not because when you obey, there's not a cost, but because when you obey, you have the Father's pleasure. And it is very good at the end of the day to hear him say, well done.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.